Good evening.
Please.
Great to be back with you tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can worship together. Wanted to make a quick mention to our young people. There is no Monday Night Summer Youth Series tomorrow night. This is one of 2 weeks where they don't do it in the summer. But there will be one next week. So the 8th, we will go to West Dyersburg, and I'll get a sign-up sheet out prior to that. We'll leave here at about 6:15, should give us plenty of time to get over there. And then the one after that that we can go to is at the Bishop Street congregation, which is in Union City, and that will be the following week. So I just wanted to make you aware of those, be thinking about that. We always have a great time when we go, and so I hope you'll make plans to be a part of that. Tonight we want to continue our study looking at the book of Jonah. We noticed 2 points this morning. We want to notice our final point tonight. We'll recap those first 2 points very quickly, and then we'll move into our third point. Number one, as we looked at the story of Jonah and learned what we can learn from Jonah from chapter one, we noticed first of all the call to sail with God. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.'" As we talked about this call from God, we noticed that it was personal, that it was pointed, that it was plain, and that it was possible. And we noted that the call that God calls us today is the exact same way. We noticed that it's a personal call, that we're called through the gospel, that it's pointed. God is very specific in what He wants us to do. That it is plain is something that we can understand, that we can comprehend. And then we notice that it is also possible. It is something that we can obey. That brought us to our second point, as we looked at what Jonah did in response to the call of God. And that was the choice to sail away from God. In verse 3, we noted that, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." And as we looked at verse 3, we noted the fact that he rose to flee from God. We noticed that he went down to Joppa. We talked about the fact that he found a ship, that Satan will always make sure that if we want to sail away from God, there'll be a ship waiting to take us there. He paid the fare, he went on board the ship, and then we noticed that he sailed with them. The fact that, once again, if we're determined to live apart from God, Satan will make sure that there's lots of folks who will be there to tell us, "Hey, what you're doing's fine, don't worry about it. Live however you want." That brings us down to our third point, which is where we pick up tonight. And that is the cost of sailing away from God. The cost of sailing away from God. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do. We're going to be noticing verses 4 through 17. Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 through 17. Jonah's made a choice to sail away from God. But what he hasn't realized yet, but that he's going to realize very quickly, is that when we choose to sail away from God, there is a cost that will be paid. Beginning in verse 4, "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah." You know, as you look at this account, the fact that Jonah's down in the ship asleep, it's kind of reminiscent of Jesus, right? You recall Jesus, when he was on the sea, he had also go down into the ship. The storm was raging, but Jesus was asleep in the lower part of the ship. And that's where we see Jonah here. Of course, the big difference is Jesus came out and calmed the sea. Jonah is the cause for what is taking place. And so they call for Jonah to come up, and they do something called casting lots. This was is something that, depending on the context, there are two different things that take place. Sometimes the casting of lots was a form of gambling. It was done in a way to acquire different things. If you remember, when it came to the garment of Jesus, one of the garments, his outer garment, was all one piece. And instead of the soldiers tearing that into pieces and each getting a piece, the Bible says that they cast lots. In other words, they did a game of chance to see who would win that piece of clothing. But here and in a few other places, casting lots was a way for God to let His will be known. And that's what it seems that they're doing here. They're trying to determine why this is happening. Something we'll note in a little bit, these mariners, they had been through storms before. They recognized something was different about this one. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Verse 8, then they said to him, "Tell us, on whose account this evil has come upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" When they figure out Jonah's the cause, they got a lot of questions in a hurry, don't they? They want to know why this is happening. What's going on? What's the purpose of all this? And so Jonah answers them. He says, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And so Jonah lets them know, this is all because of me. God told me to go one direction and I chose to go in another direction. I chose to try to flee from him, but Jonah's recognizing now that wasn't the right choice. That there was no fleeing from the presence of God. Friends, there is nowhere that you and I can go where God cannot see. There is no place where you and I can hide that God doesn't know. The psalmist talks about the fact how the night is like the day to him. You know, a lot of people that commit evil, they do it at the in the nighttime, right? In the dark, so that they can't be seen. But the psalmist tells us that's not a problem for God. The night shines like the day to him. So Jonah responds to their question of what they needed to do. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. This is one example, and we see this numerous times throughout Scripture, of where the individuals who are supposed to be the pagans act more righteous than the person that's supposed to be following God. Here are these individuals. Jonah says, "Here's what you need to do. Just throw me overboard." They don't want to do that. They know that if they throw him overboard, more than likely he'll die. They don't want to throw him overboard. In fact, they jump in and start rowing harder, trying to see if they can get the ship safely to land. Now, of course, that's not going to be the case. Verse 14, "Therefore they called out to the Lord, 'O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." As we look at this account, four things that I want us to notice. Number one, the sea was tempestuous. Some translations say that it was tossed. The idea here is that there was a huge storm that was going on. Jonah could not sail away from the storm and do the will of God. Jonah had put himself in this position. It was impossible for Jonah to stand one foot on the shoreline and seek to do God's will at the same time. We cannot seek to live like the world and still claim to follow after Christ. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters." Just as Jonah had to make a choice of who he was going to serve, we have to make the same choice. Whether we're going to be of the world or we're going to live our lives for God, that's the choice that we have to make. It was the choice that Jonah had to make. Because of the sin of Jonah, the Lord sent out this great wind into the sea, which caused the storm. Friends, the course of those who sail on the sea of the world may seem to be enjoyable at first, but eventually the storm rages. You think of any kind of sin, some sins, they're enjoyable at first. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, and Moses, when they're talking, the Hebrew writer's talking about Moses, he says that he chose to forego the passing pleasures of sin. Sin does have a pleasurable aspect to it. That's part of the temptation. But as Moses noted, it was passing. You think of any sin, it may seem enjoyable at first, but the consequences attached to that sin, not so much. And that's what Jonah's learning here. A second thing that we noticed, the ship was, according to the text, it was threatened to be broken apart. As a result of sailing on this stormy sea, the ship's being tossed about. The Bible talks about the fact that they threw their cargo overboard. Remember, these are sailors. Part of the way that they're paid is they haul cargo from point A to point B. And if they get to point B and they don't have said cargo, guess what? They don't get paid. In fact, they run the risk of having to reimburse the individual for whom they sailed the cargo in the first place. But yet they're willingly taking that cargo and chunking it over the side. Why? Because this storm is huge. They're trying to lighten the load of the ship so the ship will ride up higher upon the waves. The sea was so rough that the ship was about to be broken up. Jonah's getaway cruise in the ship of sin proved instead to be a voyage of death. Sailing in sin is not as enjoyable as it seems. In Proverbs 13:15, the New King James Version says that the way of the transgressor is hard. And indeed, Jonah's learning that here on the sea. Jonah tried to get away from God. And those who spend their lives fleeing from God will find themselves eternally separated from Him. Matthew 25:41, we read, "Then Jesus, He will say to those on His left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" And so there's this great storm. The ship is threatened to be broken up. And we see that these sailors, these mariners, they were afraid. We see that numerous times in the text. Verses 5 and 6, verse 10, verse 14, and verse 16. We see that these individuals are fearful. Y'all, these were experienced sailors. This wasn't their first storm. They had spent many years on the sea. They had spent many years on ships. They had sailed through storms before. But this storm was different. It caused them to fear for their lives. They realized the position that they were in. They were on the wide open sea. They were separated from the land. They learned that the one true God of heaven was the only one who could still the storm. They had feared the storm, but this taught them to fear the Lord. And friends, God is still the one who can rescue us from the storms faced in the ship of sin. We don't have to be lost. What did they do in order for the sea to be still? They had to get the sinful individual out of the boat, right? And friends, we have to get sin out of our lives if we want to be saved. Fourth and finally, we note that Jonah, though, was lost. Jonah discovered the sobering truth that there is no sailing away from the judgment of God. Jonah had tried to flee from God, and Jonah now knew, as we need to know, that you can't sail away from the judgment of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul writes and says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." I've told you before, one of my instructors, he would tell us, you can't get any aller than all. All of us, each and every one of us, all of us must appear before Christ one day. We'll stand before that judgment seat. He says, so that each one may receive what is due for what has been done in the body. So we're going to stand before the judgment seat and we're going to receive what is due us. And what is due us is going to be determined by the life that we have lived here. And Paul closes by saying, whether good or evil. Either we're going to live a life that is good, that's in service to God, in following God, or we're going to choose to live a life that is evil, where we don't follow God, where we aren't faithful to Him. Jonah learned that we all stand before God in judgment at some point. Because of Jonah's sin, he was lost. Jonah sought to be separated from the sight of God. What Jonah didn't realize is he was already spiritually separated from God. Jonah wanted to sail to Tarshish. Jonah's going to find himself probably as far away from God as he can possibly find himself. But not in the way that he wanted to. Quick side note. A lot of times when you talk about the story of Jonah, those who criticize the Bible, those who do not believe in what the Bible says, will bring up the fact that there's no way that a whale can swallow a human being. That a whale's throat is too small for a human being to go down. And that's true. Nowhere in the text does it say this was a whale. It says it was a big fish. And in fact, it talks about the fact that this was a fish that God had prepared for Jonah. It's highly possible this is a fish that lived and had one purpose and one person purpose only. That was to swallow Jonah and spit him back out. And so while that quip is true that a whale can't swallow a person, there's no indication that that's what this is. Friends, those who choose like Jonah to sail in the ship of sin will pay the cost for that trip. We should know from Jonah that you don't want to sail away from God. There's a quote about sin that I've used before and I will use it again. Sin will take you farther than you wanted to go. It will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. It will charge you more than you wanted to pay. And friends, it will do that every single time. It will take you farther than you wanted to go. It will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. It will charge you more than you wanted to pay. And it will do it every single time. Here's the problem with sin. If we're not careful, we reach a point where we want to let go of sin, but sin no longer wants to let go of us. Don't find yourself in that position. Jonah learned the hard way that there is nowhere to sail when sailing from the presence of God. He was called to sail with God. He made the choice to sail away from God. And as a result, he paid the cost for sailing away from God. But friends, you and I don't have to pay that same cost. If you're not a Christian, God calls for you to sail with Him this evening by becoming one. By believing in Jesus, by turning from sin, by being immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins. Or maybe you are a Christian, but you realize tonight, you know, just like Jonah, I've sailed away from God. Friends, there's a day coming when you'll stand before God. There's a cost associated with choosing to live apart from Him, but you don't have to pay that cost because you can come back to Him tonight. Who are you sailing with? Where are you sailing? Friend, make sure it's with God. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.